Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Jesse, open the bloody door!
Look, everyone, he's coming through the door.
Brilliant! He didn't even open them!
He's here!
Hey, Mike, everybody! It's Barney!
And with me, Jesse Clegg.
Savior.
Oh my word.
I know I can make it on my own.
This is my sin.
I'm searching for the great heart.
Oh, listen.
Beneath the African sky. A great heart to stand me by.
Hey Dad, sending lots of love from New York.
Jeez.
Have a great show at Monte Cassino.
This is you making me cry.
Man,
it's incredible. Special guest tonight, right through until midnight, Jesse Clegg. Hello, Jess.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm looking at you, and I wanted to say Johnny.
Oh, God.
Because I spoke to your dad about, 6 months ago.
Awesome.
And he was sitting in that seat. It's amazing, hey?
Yeah.
And now his son is sitting in front of me.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
It's a family business.
So Richard is here as well. How's it, Rich?
Yeah, how you doing?
Okay, we're going to chat to you a little later on because I want to know all the naughty things about
he's
Jesse.
He's the naughty
no problem.
One.
I'm the secret spiller.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to tell me tonight. Listen, we've got 2 hours. Now, the nice thing is when you interview people in their 40s and 50s, they've been around, they got the T-shirt. You know, they've done.
Yeah.
Now, I've got these youngsters in here. So it's going to be very difficult because you're only, 24, 25?
26.
26.
Yeah, I'm getting on in the world.
But for a 26-year-old, you have done a hell of a lot, more than other 26-year-olds. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Let's start right at the beginning. Where were you born, Jesse?
Joburg.
In a hospital? At home?
Yeah, in a hut in Zululand. So in a hospital in Joburg. I don't know which hospital.
Okay. I heard a rumor that your dad wanted a daughter and he wanted to call the daughter Jessie.
I hope not, but I'm going to have a chat with him after I'm hearing this. No, that's worrying.
He actually said Jessica. And then he thought, let's have a look. Oh, no, it's a boy. So Jesse isn't too bad.
I heard that I was named after Jesse James, yeah. But maybe they were just covering it up.
Okay. So do you remember the first 6 years of your life, apparently you were on tour with Dad. I mean, absolutely, all over the place. Yeah. Do you remember anything at all?
I mean, it was just a blur of hotels and airports and tour buses. But there was this one thing that happened that is always, I've remembered my whole life. After one of the shows, I was like 5 years old at the time, and my dad had just finished playing a big show in France, and everyone got back on the tour bus, and my mom suddenly picked up and was like, "Where's Jesse? Where's he gone? We can't find him." And they looked at the venue, they looked in the bus, and they were like, "Oh my God, we've lost him." And apparently I was standing by the fence separating the audience leaving the venue and the bus and signing autographs. So it was, I think I was just ready to go, you know.
Ready to become
but
famous.
But actually, it's weird because I remember that quite clearly. I remember like just being backstage and seeing the shows and seeing the crowds and just kind of taking in the music, you know. It was just an amazingly stimulating experience.
It's like Slash's kid when I saw them, Kings of Chaos. Yeah. The little kid was running around backstage. So one day he'll tell the story. I mean, I was backstage, and it's actually boring for a kid to be backstage. Can you imagine other kids? They'll die to get backstage.
I know.
And, but also the traveling. I mean, the nice thing is your dad took you with him. You didn't find somebody to look after you for 6 years. You
were, well, I had like an au pair kind of person who kind of watched me during the tours. But it's weird, man. Like when you grow up in that environment, it's you don't think it's unusual. You know, you have nothing to compare it to. So because that's just been your experience. So it's never, you never stop and think this is not how other kids are. You know. Yeah. So for me, it was just part of life. And I got to see a lot of really cool places and meet some cool people and see some amazing music. So I look back on it and realize how fortunate I was.
Have you got any photos to prove that you were a baby?
I don't know. I think like in the background of like my dad with Sting, I'm probably like sitting in the back naked, like in a nappy or something.
We're going to talk about that later on. He loves walking around naked. Okay, so then after, I mean, you went to primary school. Which primary school in Joburg?
I went to Crawford.
Crawford, huh?
Yeah.
Upmarket.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but good teachers, good education.
Yeah, it was a really stimulating school. In fact, Richard's now one of the head of the department at music school there.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a few contacts. So.
Did you study music there as well?
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing experience for me because they really allowed me to be myself and to discover music in the way that I want to discover it. And I had a teacher there named Russell Sterling who, he was a mentor for me. You know, when I was learning, I was very insecure and I didn't really know if this is something I could do. And, you know, in that early stage when you still finding yourself, it's very important to have reinforcements and people who make you confident and believe in yourself. So I still actually am in touch with him and he's still someone who I really respect and who's helped me out.
So was he the guy that said, listen, you're gonna play football, you're going to play rugby, or you're going to play cricket, or you're going to get behind that piano now and we're going to
teach
you?
I did music so I didn't have to play sports.
And were you in the choir?
No, I wasn't. I always did my
own
thing.
Come on, Jesse.
I know.
You should have been in that choir. Choir boys.
I missed out. Eh? Choir boys, eh?
Yeah. So do you remember anything primary school? Were you bullied at primary school? Did you have a lot of friends? Were you a friendly guy?
I was a bit of a loner. Eh? I wasn't like the most sociable cat. You know, I was very like, I kept to my own sort of devices and I don't know. I suppose just played music and I had my own little world that I was enjoying. When I got to high school, I found, you know, my social scene, but primary school was like still kind of figuring it out, you know.
When you were at primary school as well, did you also do the thing where your friends used to come and sleep over on a Friday and spend the weekend there?
Of
you
course.
Used to go. And did, I mean, did they know? Obviously, their parents knew who your dad was, and these kids didn't really bother them, hey, because they didn't really know.
Yeah, I mean, it never really, I don't know, it never came up, hey, like. It's weird. Like, I never was conscious of it. Maybe I was just blind to it. Maybe I was just used to it. But it was never something that was invasive in my personal life or in my social life at that age. You know, it was kind of just like whatever. You know, everyone was like, cool. That's your dad. He's a musician. You know, it wasn't a big deal, I think.
And, well, the nice thing is your dad could always sleep late during the day because we usually sleep until about 11 o'clock.
So yeah, exactly.
A lot of quality time with the family. You know? But also,
he's away a lot, though. I mean, in those times, I mean, he was doing, you know, 9 month tour. So you don't see them for like 9 months. You know, that's why we had to go and actually go on tour with them, because we just wouldn't see them otherwise.
And what was your dad like, you know, at home on a weekend, walking down, getting his Sunday Times in his gown and his slippers? I mean, he's that kind of dude. He's just
totally,
so relaxed.
Man, he's totally chilled. He, you know, we had a really great relationship. I mean, he would, you know, sit us all around and tell us stories, and he took us to the park and we played sports, and, you know, it was a very normal kind of relationship in terms of father son and just growing up in that with my friends and stuff. It was very normal. I never felt any pressure to go into music. You know, I always knew that, you know, whenever we would have dinner, someone would come up to my dad and kind of chat to him, and it never bothered us. I never really questioned it further. It was just like, that's the way it is.
I love that. Your dad's a great storyteller. I can't wait for his book to come out. Just tell him to hurry up, okay? that'll be a good read.
I know.
But also, as you say, he's such a great storyteller. And how old is your brother? Is he younger than you, huh?
My brother's 20.
Okay.
And he is also, I mean, an amazing storyteller. He definitely inherited that. And he's going into film, he's going into directing and animation and stuff. So he's now studying in Vancouver, doing the film thing. So, yeah, it's a household of artists. My mother loses her mind every now and then because we're all crazy.
Yeah, but as a family, I mean, the advice that your dad and your mom always gave you, you know, and now you're in your mid-20s now. Do you still use all that advice? And I mean, you're such a nice guy. You know what I mean? You've got good manners, I think. Not after that photo I saw the other day with Art Matthew.
Yeah, that was tough.
That selfie. But, you know, out of that discipline, were they very casual about it? I mean, there was a stage probably in your life where you went, Dad, screw you, Mom. I'm going to like climb through this window and I want to go and party and smoke and drink it up with the boys.
Well, it's kind of weird when you trying to go through a rebellious phase and your dad is already a rock star. It's like, where do you go from there? There's nothing more rebellious than being like a rock star. I think my upbringing was very supportive, very loving. Like, we're a very small family. There's not a lot of extended relatives. It's kind of just the four of us. And we've always, there's always been a sense of, you know, do what you love and stick at it and do it with passion and enjoy every moment of it and be thankful, you know. So, and I think that growing up in the music industry, you know, you kind of see the incredible power of music to connect people and move people, but you also see the incredible sacrifice that a musician has to make in order to bring those people together, in order to get to those concerts and all that stuff. So I always had a very unglamorous sense of what it actually takes in the real world to be a musician and the trade-off.
Yeah.
So it was, I kind of came into it with a good headspace, I think.
Okay, were you head boy at the primary school?
No.
Oh, no.
I messed up.
Were you deputy head boy?
I wasn't a head boy. I was
prefect.
I was the weird kid in the corner making music, man.
And all those, do you remember any of those teachers from primary school, the headmaster?
Yeah, of course.
Do they know you?
They know me, man. They get me to come and talk to the kids now. Now that they know me like I'm a proper musician, they get me to come and talk. But back then I was like the weird kid in the corner, like making music. In high school I had long hair and it was mercurochrome red, because I was obsessed with Kurt Cobain for a while.
We're going to get to your high school soon. That's what I want to find out.
I was that kid for a while.
We're going to talk about that kid. Jesse is here, Jesse Clegg, and also Richard, hanging out with me tonight. We'll talk to Richard a little bit later on. But Depeche Mode, did you ever go and see them? Maybe were you too young with Standard Bank Arena when they were out?
No, I didn't.
You were too young.
Oh, man, I wish I had. I'm dying to see them.
Real concerts. It was Roddy Quinn and they brought them out, and now Roddy looks after you guys.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about why you like this song so much in just a moment. Depeche Mode, this is Jacaranda FM. If you want to tweet, it's at Barney Simon, at Jesse Clegg. Get in touch, follow us.
And at Jesse _ Clegg.
Now he's getting complicated. Underscore. Never score.
It's the underscore that binds us.
Okay. Right, go for that now. Follow us, Han Mol, and I'm going to speak to him in Afrikaans a little later on. He's probably going to teach me a couple of things in Zulu. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And they're going to do a couple of unplugged songs.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda FM.